instincts has been to know that they are helpless to understand that they are incapable of worshiping Allah. Only He can grasp Himself, understand Himself, and praise Himself. If human beings did not have the permission to enter worship all worship, then a human being would have felt ashamed to stand before Allah and want to praise Allah in front of Him. A human being is more insignificant than to stand before Allah and want to praise Allah, to glorify Him. This is a claim. Praise and glorification implies that I have come to know you while a human being is capable of understanding, but there is no alternative because he has said it himself.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, dear audience. Welcome to a new episode of Spring of the Truth from IRIB English Radio. This is Zainab Mousavi, and what we do in this program is to talk about certain speeches and viewpoints of Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh, who was the great leader of the Islamic Republic of Iran, and then try to take some points and lessons out of these speeches and viewpoints in order for us to make use of them in our daily lives. Well, on the subject of the holy month of Ramadan, Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh says, God has invited all people to his feast and no stakes, and friends of God enter that feast, and of course few persons can be successful. This statement of Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi is about the great feast of the holy month of Ramadan. The Ramadan is the month of divine feast, which marks the beginning self-purification of soul and body. The holy month, which is superior to all months, the month of Ramadan is different from other months from the viewpoint of worth and value, and it is more superior to the other month. Honorable Holy Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Indeed, this month is not similar to other months of the year." This hadith from the Holy Prophet shows the significance of this month for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the reason why his infallible progeny has emphasized on glorifying the value of this holy month. Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh followed this manner as well. As you know, the whole month of Ramadan for him was an appreciated opportunity to give prayer, recite the Holy Book of Quran, and recommended rites particularly designed for the days and nights of this very blessed month of Ramadan.
Ya Rabbana, salli ala Taha al-Nabi
صلى الله عليه
صل يا
رسول الله
يا ربنا صل على طه النبي وآله.
The great Imam rahmatullah alayhi used to emphasize on self-purification, self-training, self-development, offering sacrifices and adopting other divine virtues during the blessed month of Ramadan. The month of Ramadan has been singled out for special worship and exclusive favors. The Holy Quran was revealed in this month. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of Spring of the Truth. And until another episode, I bid you farewell and may Allah protect you all.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Ayahs, 30 days. In the name of God, salam and welcome to the program. A monotheist person not only reflects on the Quran but also tries to explain the ayahs of this heavenly scripture to others and make them familiar with its teachings. Explicating of the Quranic teachings, first of all, was the duty of the Prophet and his infallible successors. Every faithful too, according to the extent that they had learned from the Ahlul Bayt, embarked on this heavy duty. So the ulama that are Muslim scholars took over this duty after the occultation of the 12th infallible successor of the Prophet, Imam Mahdi, may God hasten his reappearance, and have seriously continued this job till the present day. Today, this duty has become highly important due to the broad assault of enemies against the beliefs of Islam and humanity. In the fifth episode of Ramadan special series, we are going to explain Ayah 124 of Surah Nisa of the Noble Quran. The Ayah speaks on righteous deeds and the equality of man and woman in this regard. Stay tuned, please. Ramadan is the month of a banquet whose host is Allah, and everyone has been invited to the banquet. Fasting is not like Hajj, which is obligatory only when a Muslim is able, both physically and financially, to do it. Also, fasting is not like Khums or Zakat, which become obligatory for the additional amount of money or specific properties. Fasting also differs from daily ritual prayer, which is obligatory on everyone in any condition. Fasting is obligatory only during the blessed month of Ramadan for men and women who can abstain from eating and drinking for certain hours. Woman in Islam is equal to man in reproduction and continuation of generation. Man is father and woman is mother. Woman's role is not inferior to man. Both of them are essential for life. Allah says in Ayah 124 of Surah Nisa of the Noble Quran, "And whoever does righteous deeds, whether male or female, should be faithful. Such shall enter paradise, and they will not be wronged so much as speck on a date stone." Ayah 35 of Surah Ahzab of the Noble Quran also reads, "Indeed the Muslim men and the Muslim women, and the faithful men and the faithful women, and the obedient men and the obedient women, and the truthful men and the truthful women, and the patient men and the patient women, and the humble men and the humble women, and the charitable men and the charitable women, and the men who fast and the women who fast, and the men who guard their private parts and the women who guard, and the men who remember Allah greatly, and the women who remember, Allah holds in store for them forgiveness and a great reward." This ayah clearly shows that man and woman are equal before God. The road to perfection and sublimity is open for human beings regardless of their gender. As for social and personal rights too, there is no difference between man and woman. What seems to be discrimination in a few specific laws is due to the differences of man's and woman's nature. Therefore, some advantages are granted to man and some others to woman. God names Pharaoh's wife Asiye as a role model for all faithful. He also names Prophet Noah's wife as a role model for unfaithful. It means that woman is the axis of good and evil for the whole mankind. The reality of woman's status and dignity has been ignored in human systems throughout centuries. Some civilizations considered women inferior to men. Some others even considered woman as an animal at the service of man. In the ancient Rome, man was the absolute authority at home. He could sell, lend, or donate his wife as a means of pleasure or service to others. If she committed sin, he had the right to punish her in any way that he wished. he was entitled to even kill her. This continued in the West till Renaissance and the so-called Era of Enlightenment. With the onset of the Industrial Revolution and formation of capitalist system, a new phase of woman's slavery began. The capitalist system, in order to increase consumerism and coordinate the market of supply and demand, was in need of forging a hunger for consumption of goods. In view of this, the media controlled by capitalists modeled the tastes of society in line with their vested interest. Thus, people thought that they should consume more to have a happier life. This trend led women, consequently men, to excessive consumerism. Women, however, were harmed more due to their nature. Therefore, they started a competition towards physical show-off. In other words, profiteering media inculcated the feeling in women that their value and personality was related to exposing their female beauties and attractions. This turned women into tools in the hands of companies and tradesmen. Consequently, sexuality and nakedness became a norm, and little by little it became the highest criterion to evaluate women in the West. It is a matter of laughter that this magnitude of disrespect to women and instrumental use of them has ever since been introduced as support for women's rights, and Islam has been propagated as a violator of their rights. Ruling systems in the world have raised various claims on women since old times, and most of them have been formed with the motto of equality of the rights of men and women. The Islamic Republic system is not an exception in this respect. The Islamic Republic of Iran has put forward novel view on women, and that's why it has been the target of incessant assaults by enemies for 45 years. Iran's Shah Mohammad Reza Pahlavi said in an interview with the Italian journalist Oriana Fallaci in 1974, "In the life of man, woman is not considered anything except when she is beautiful and charming, keeping her female features. You women have never had a Michelangelo or Bach or even a great cook. You have had nothing great. Honestly, how many women have you seen in your interviews who are able to administer a country?" Imam Khomeini, the architect of the Islamic Revolution, however, says on human dimension of woman is a human and a great human. Woman is the trainer of society. Elsewhere, Imam Khomeini says on the Prophet's special attention to women, "The history of Islam is testimony to the unlimited respects of the Messenger of God to this noble child to show that woman enjoys a special greatness in society such that if she is not superior to man, she is not inferior." The Imam's view is in total contrast to the Western culture. Imam Khomeini considers woman as the trainer and manager of family, as believes that woman's lap is the best school for educating children. He says on the status of mother, "The many rights of mothers cannot be counted and fulfilled. One night of mother for her child is more valuable than a committed father's life. The embodiment of affection and mercy in the bright eyes of mother is the ray of mercy and affection of the Lord of the worlds." The hadith that reads, "Paradise is under the feet of mothers," is a reality. The Noble Quran presents the best and loftiest descriptions on women. This eternal book of guidance says in Ayah 21 of Surah Rum, "And of his signs is that he has created for you mates from your own selves, that you may take comfort in them, and he ordained affection and mercy between you. There are indeed signs in that for those who reflect."
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
This is A to Z. An introduction into Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, remember Allah and Allah will remember you. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It is an honor to be here at your service. Holy month of Ramadan. What a beautiful month indeed. Our congratulations and blessings to all of you across the world on this beautiful holy month of Ramadan. So we're talking about how if you remember Allah, Allah will remember you. Now, this is one of the beauties of the holy month of Ramadan. Because we are encouraged to remember Allah. Now, this remembrance of Allah, this dhikr of Allah, this, I guess, remembrance is perhaps a good way to translate dhikr, even though dhikr is like this continuous knowledge of, or it is this continuous recitation of, but this recitation in its essence is done in order to keep Allah constantly in our remembrance, to constantly be aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mighty, the exalted. That's what dhikr or remembrance is. This is what we're talking about. But anyways, the holy month of Ramadan is a perfect opportunity for us to be able to constantly be in the remembrance of the Almighty Allah, to constantly be aware of the presence of the Almighty Allah. And so this is what we're talking about now on the program, is that if you remember Allah, Allah will remember you. Even though if we want to go into some of the intricacies of it, if we don't remember Allah, Allah is still remembering us. But that the remembrance of Allah upon us when we are not remembering Allah is a kind of a different type of remembrance, right? It's not the same when you think about somebody or you speak with somebody and they respond to you as compared to you speaking to somebody and them ignoring you.
رمضان المستبين جاء بالنور المبين رمضان 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 القانتين.
Welcome back. This is A to Z on IRIB English Radio. So we're talking about how if you remember Allah, Allah will remember you. Now, we had left the last part of the segment with this idea that there's a difference between when you speak with somebody and they speak back to you, as compared to you speaking with somebody and them ignoring you. So this is the kind of example that I wanted to bring up, that, you know, in this holy month of Ramadan, those people who remember Allah, Allah remembers them in a different manner than those people who don't remember Allah. So in our example, it's like an individual who ignores Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mighty, the exalted, the supreme Lord, he does remember those individuals, of course. I mean, he's watching everything, he's hearing everything, he's seeing everything, he's witnessing everything, right? So he is remembering these individuals who aren't remembering him. But of course, that is a different remembrance of Allah than upon those individuals who are constantly in the remembrance of Allah. So the focus and the attention, if you will, and the remembrance of Allah on, for example, the Imam of the Age, or the Ahlul Bayt in their respective times, or the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon all of them. The remembrance of Allah and the attention of Allah on them is much more than, for example, the evildoers of the planet in their respective eras, right? These are kind of common sense truths and realities. So the more we remember Allah in the holy month of Ramadan, the more Allah will remember us. And this is something that is found in the traditions of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam as well. If you remember Allah, Allah will remember you. And the more you love Allah, the more Allah will love you. And this is something that we should definitely continue even after the holy month of Ramadan.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
In the modern era, man has reached ever new technological heights unprecedented in history. We can now communicate and interact with those halfway around the world with ease, manage workloads with a click of a finger, or access information and news in a matter of seconds. Perhaps a world without electronic technology would be unimaginable. But this miraculous blessing has a very, very dark and toxic underbelly. I'm Zarin Shajeri, and this is Aperture. The electronic technology we are so dependent on creates waste unseen in the Earth's history. Every year, up to 50 million tons of electronic waste, computers, television sets, mobile phones, and household appliances are thrown away by consumers in the developed countries. 75% of this waste disappears from the legal recycling circuit, much of it dumped illegally in the third world. Stay with us as this week's documentary spans the world to reveal how greed and corruption are ruining the globe's legal recycling systems, damaging the environment, creating security risks, and endangering human health.
We produce up to 50 million tons of e-waste every single year, and our discarded appliances increasingly end up in places like the dump site in Africa. We first came here 3 years ago, while risking serious health problems such as cancer and brain damage. Since then, the situation has worsened dramatically. The amount of e-waste coming into Africa has almost doubled. And also in Europe, South America, and Asia, the discarded symbols of our modern lifestyle are corroding landscapes and poisoning the soil, water, and air.
It's a crime. I mean, this is a crime of mammoth proportions.
E-waste trafficking is huge and said to be bigger than the drugs trade. Even though the export of e-waste has been banned for more than 30 years, thousands of e-waste containers cross the oceans every year. And the toxic tide is set to rise even further because in spite of the crisis, the sale of electronics is booming and emerging markets are coming on board. All contribute to a growing mountain of e-waste to which we can no longer turn a blind eye.
It's like a doctor looking at a patient who's bleeding profusely and saying, "Oh, it's not so bad." When I hear people like that, I say, just go. Just take a plane and go look for yourself and tell me that's not a problem.
All over the world, law enforcement, environmental activists, customs officials, and undercover investigators are fighting to stop the traffickers.
Para ese tipo de personas, el futuro no cuenta. Lo que cuenta es el beneficio inmediato.
The battle is difficult to win because of the huge profits to be made and the corruption involved.
C'est tout un système de montage avec des sociétés écrans. Là, on peut parler de système mafieux.
Can we stop the toxic tide before it is too late? Mike Anane is a Ghanaian environmental journalist and activist. He has made it his personal mission to stop the influx of e-waste to his country. He has discovered that many of the computers dumped here still bear the names of their original owners in Europe and the US.
I'm looking for the asset tags or the property tags. Yes, it gives a lot of indication and provide a clue as to who owned it, who used it.
Mike told me that he had a plan. He wanted to take his collection of tags on a journey of investigation.
The idea is to take these things back to the previous owners, the original owners. And these are e-waste that belong to people in the UK. I'll ask them questions as to how these things got to Ghana, if they have any idea. Somebody has to pay for these things because the environmental and health consequences are enormous. They are killing people here. They should be responsible.
Mike is taking several pieces of e-waste to the UK. The first one originally belonged to Leeds City Council.
Dear Mr. Councillor, my name is Mike Anane. I would like to come and see you to show you what I found and to investigate how your discarded computer equipment found its way to Ghana. This is the moment that I have been waiting for, to listen to their side of the story.
Is this the same all over Africa, or is there specific parts of Africa where we're having problems with?
We have Nigeria and, of course, Ghana.
Mm.
Yeah, these two countries are the major countries that receive electronic waste.
We've researched as far as we can that particular piece of waste from the serial number they can date it. But I mean, we're talking 20 years ago, and as I said, at that time, I mean, the ethical, what was thought to be ethical was, we'll recondition them and give them to charities that can't afford their own computers. But I don't think anybody actually thought the thing through, that what happens when it is no longer in use.
The records of the donations no longer exist, so Councillor Blackburn can't tell Mike which computer went to which charity. The trail has gone cold. Mike tries to trace back more of the tags he has found in Ghana.
Good afternoon. My name is Mike Anane. I'm trying to reach 212 regarding some recycling issues. You happy? Is anybody around?
Yeah, at the moment, it's basically 2-2 gone into administration. We've been taken over by Daisy.
Mm-hmm.
All recyclers involved were closed down or sold on years ago.
This number is for sale. For information, call Odin.
After a whole week in the UK trying to trace back the tags, Mike still doesn't know who sent the e-waste to Ghana.
I'm very much disappointed. I have been to several places and the usual excuses, it's been 20 years or we give them to charity. And I find these excuses rather funny. Yeah, because it doesn't take away the problems, it doesn't take away their complicity, and it doesn't take away the fact that they are to be blamed.
Uncovering the e-waste traffic is not as simple as Mike had expected, but he is determined to continue his investigation. E-waste trafficking has been illegal since 1989, when the Basel Convention was signed, the first international treaty banning the trafficking of any kind of toxic waste. To date, 190 countries have signed it, amongst them China and Ghana. The European Union, too, has written the Basel Convention into its laws, prohibiting the export of e-waste. In other words, all EU waste should be recycled in Europe. A system has been designed In Europe, when a consumer buys a new appliance, the purchase price includes a recycling levy. For instance, the price of a fridge includes a levy of up to 20 euros. Around 4 billion euros are collected this way in Europe every year. This money is used by the industry to run a system which collects, sorts, transports, and recycles our appliances. That's why we can hand them back for recycling for free when we discard them. Thousands of highly specialized recycling plants have been set up all over Europe. Here, the e-waste is treated without harming the workers or the environment. Professional recyclers can get a whole range of valuable materials out of our discarded appliances. But recyclers all over Europe are complaining that their plants are not running to full capacity. And the European Union estimates that at least two-thirds of European e-waste never make it to an official recycling plant. Spain is one of the worst affected countries. So what's going wrong? Belén Ramos works for OQ, Spain's biggest consumer association. She wants to find out why Spanish e-waste is not getting to the recycling plants through an experiment. Belén and her team are installing satellite trackers inside discarded appliances that could have come from any of our homes. In total, 16 pieces have been fitted with trackers. The plan is to hand them in for recycling all over the country and see if they find their way to a recycling plant or not. Soon, all the pieces of e-waste with the hidden trackers inside are distributed all over the country. All of them are sending regular satellite signals. This morning, there is news from the city of Granada, where a computer with a tracker was handed in for recycling. The satellite picture shows clearly that the new location of the computer is an abandoned lot and not a recycling plant. In a country with 26% unemployment and paltry benefits, some have turned to e-waste theft to survive. Security cameras and metal gates failed to deter the thieves. Fences are simply cut to provide access 24 hours. The copper cone inside a TV set can be sold to a scrap dealer for 2 euros. A fridge will yield up to 10 euros, and a system unit 4 euros. But theft from collection points is not the only way e-waste is disappearing. In 2011, the Spanish Environmental Police discovered that 500,000 fridges had been siphoned off the official system and dumped. The case became known as Operation Fragmento, Spain's first high-profile e-waste case. A large criminal network, which included staff at collection points, recycling plants, and transport firms, had taken the recycling levy and then illegally scrapped the fridges. Their profit, 10 million euros. The case is currently pending trial. The final balance of Belén's tracker experiment, only 4 of the 16 pieces made it to authorized recycling plants. All others were scrapped illegally. That's 75%. But none of Belén's trackers have appeared outside of Spain. So how does European e-waste end up in the third world? An answer can be found in France. Here, in March 2010, the Gendarmerie discovered a huge warehouse full of e-waste tucked away in a small town. Captain Doblemont was in charge of the investigation. So where did all this e-waste come from, and where was it going? D3E Recyclage had collected electronics for recycling from all over the region. Clients included public institutions, hospitals and prisons, and even the gendarmerie itself. The e-waste came flooding in for one reason. Under French law, companies have to pay for their old equipment to be recycled, but D3E offered an irresistible deal. Free recycling of monitors, which would normally have cost around €5 each to recycle. Nobody thought this was a deal too good to be true, because the paperwork provided by D3E Recyclage looked totally convincing. They even listed individual serial numbers, claiming that everything had been recycled according to the law. For several years, D3E operated calmly under the radar. Not a single inspection took place, which would have revealed that they didn't have any recycling equipment whatsoever. D3E may have only been a small company, but they were part of an international e-waste trafficking ring covering three continents. When Captain Doblemont discovered that the waste had left France for Belgium, he contacted Interpol for help. A huge international network began to reveal itself. The French monitors had been sold for between 50 cents and €2 a piece to a company in Belgium called Mobo. The investigators traced the head office of Mobo to Luxembourg. A truly international network was uncovered. Mobo and Luxembourg bought e-waste not only from France, but also from Croatia and the UK. They used a Romanian company for packing and logistics. The e-waste was exported from Holland to Hong Kong, Vietnam, and the Arab Emirates. The shareholders are based in the US, in Delaware, a notorious fiscal paradise. The French e-waste suppliers have been sentenced and their fake recycling company shut down. But Mobo continue to trade, advertising their services on sites such as Alibaba.com, where e-waste from all around the world is traded freely and without borders. Thousands of e-waste containers leave Europe every year. This not only causes environmental damage, it also affects the economy. This was a major reason why, in 2008, the European institutions in Brussels started work on a new, more stringent version of the EU e-waste directive.
10% of all the gold in the world goes to electronics, and most of it then disappears. And the same with silver, with copper.
Every year, Europe dumps millions of tons of e-waste, including the valuable resources inside.
I think everybody needs to wake up to the fact that in 20 or 30 years, the world is going to have a huge resource crisis. And Europe in particular is very vulnerable. We import 6 times more than we export.
Europe currently spends €130 billion a year on importing strategic metals, even though some of this demand could be covered with recycled e-waste instead. This refinery in Belgium extracts copper, tin, silver and gold from old electronics and processes them for resale. 50,000 mobile phones yield 1 kilogram of gold and 10 kilograms of silver, worth about €40,000. Currently, only 1% of mobile phones are recycled in Europe. This means that we're actually sitting on a veritable mine of precious metals and valuable rare earths. In January 2012, the European Parliament passed the new e-waste directive. The new goal is to increase e-waste recycling in Europe by making it easier for consumers to hand back their waste and by keeping the waste in Europe through stricter export controls at the harbours. But how easy is it to stop an e-waste container from leaving? Mike Anane has travelled to Scotland to meet the Environmental Protection Agency.
Historically, it's been West Africa, primarily Nigeria, but over the last few years, we have noticed an increase to Ghana.
What are the usual tricks that these illegal exporters use?
For example, changing the container drop-off point to the last minute, so as we can't be there to check, or potentially having material in the first few rows of the container that are working order, but some material sitting behind that that's not working order.
Only functional second-hand equipment can legally be exported from Europe. Everything else is seized.
So do you test every single equipment for functionality?
Not every single equipment. The amount of exports that takes place and the resource, it wouldn't be cost-effective. We have to use the resources effectively.
The team use a video camera to look inside the container and to see if any of the contents look like e-waste.
You were checking a 40-footer container, but the camera was not long enough to the end of the container.
It's another indication. That's why the majority of our effort goes into the use of intelligence and the use of inspections at an earlier stage. We've already had information from that exporter to show that each of the fridges had been tested, but that was a spot check to ensure that the paperwork they'd given us matched up.
Mike is not impressed. The Scottish authorities, making the best of their resources, rely on information from the exporters themselves to stop any illegal shipments. The container was released for export soon after.
For me, I would say that the controls that I saw at the port in Scotland was not good enough. Every single item would have to be checked for functionality, particularly of the contents. If it's refrigerators, if it's television sets or computers, they would have to find out whether they are working in good working order before they're shipped or whether they're just junk.
In spite of all European laws, Europe's harbours are clearly overwhelmed by the sheer number of e-waste containers being exported. What about a country that produces more e-waste than anyone else on the planet and hasn't banned its export? The US produces a staggering 9.5 million tons of e-waste a year. A lot of this is collected by recyclers, for instance, at so-called recycling rallies, where people are invited to donate their discarded electronics to charity. Most people don't know is that a lot of US e-waste is headed straight for the third world.
If you were to go out on the street and ask people, what do you think happens when you take your old computer to a recycler, they'll just say it gets recycled. Very few know that most of these so-called recyclers in the United States don't recycle, they just export.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآن جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآن.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. السلام عليكم. Respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRB English Radio, thank you so much for joining us. Today, here we are with Brother Fawad Haider, and I'm really happy to say hello to him. Fawad, salam, how are you?
Salam, sir, I'm fine, how about you?
Alhamdulillah, thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining us today. Inshallah, today, Fawad will talk about Ayah 17 of Surah An-Nisa on page
80.
So, brothers and sisters, open your Quran, please. Turn to page 80, Ayah 17 of Surah An-Nisa. Let's listen, everybody, once.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. إنما التوبة على الله للذين يعملون السوء بجهالة ثم يتوبون من قريب فأولئك يتوب الله عليهم وكان الله عليما حكيما.
Nice recitation, mashallah. Allah bless the reciter, inshallah. So, Fawad, in ayah 17, Allah Almighty says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنما التوبة على الله للذين يعملون السوء بجهالة ثم يتوبون من قريب فأولئك يتوب الله عليهم وكان الله عليما عليما حكيما. So at the very beginning of the ayah, Allah Almighty talks about tawbah, repentance. At the end of the ayah, Allah Almighty talks about two of His very, very important attributes. Right? The names Alim and Hakim. So, Fawad, basically, what is repentance? What is repentance?
Huh? Is going back.
Oh, going back or returning.
Yes.
All right, good job. So, repentance, there is a question, actually. Okay, let's answer this question. If we answer this question, inshallah, the message of this ayah will be clear. That sometimes, we know tawbah, repentance, it means like turning back to Allah Almighty.
Yes.
But when you make tawbah, Fawad, when you repent, you say, Astaghfirullah, Allah Almighty, forgive me. How should you understand that Allah Almighty has forgiven you?
So, in my view, if you stop doing that thing again and again, think like Allah has helped you.
All right. And he has
so you stop doing that. So, it means like He has accepted and He has helped you.
When I have done a mistake, done a wrong thing, I ask Allah to forgive me. Astaghfirullah. I'm repenting, yes? So, it's my repentance. But, you know, before I ask Allah Almighty to repent for repentance, okay? It's Allah Almighty who has turned back to His mercy, not His punishment. So He wanted to punish me, yes? Because I had done. It was me who had done a mistake and I deserved it.
So if you didn't say the second repentance.
No, look.
So you would be punished or not?
Yeah, I deserve to be punished because I've done a mistake. Allah Almighty has told me the rules, okay? If I do not follow the rules, it means I have done the mistake, I've done it wrong, okay? I deserve to be punished. But listen, Allah Almighty turns to you. Allah Almighty has given you the chance to come and repent. Allah Almighty has first turned, okay? Returned to His mercy. Because you deserved punishment, Allah Almighty wanted to punish you, but He returned to His mercy, not punishment. He changed His mind. So when Allah Almighty changes His mind, that's when you get the chance. Look, first, it's Allah Almighty's mercy that gives you the chance.
To repent.
To repent, actually, okay? So this means that Allah Almighty wants to accept your repentance.
So how
do you... And you can repent. So, listen, when you repent, then Allah Almighty completely changes His mind and does not punish you. So, but if you again do the same thing again, Allah Almighty will turn back to His punishment.
How do you understand, like, if he wants to accept your repentance?
How do you understand that Allah Almighty has accepted your repentance or not?
Yes.
The answer is easy. Okay, the answer is easy. Scholars say that if you have gotten a chance to repent, ask Allah Almighty to forgive you, this means that Allah Almighty is going to forgive you. So guys, brothers and sisters, as you're listening, Allah Almighty says, إِنَّمَا التَّوْبَةُ عَلَى اللَّهِ لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السُّءَ. Su' means one, okay? One sin. بِجَهَالَ, the one who has done unintentionally, accidentally, without knowing that this is... So if somebody does it intentionally and does not repent, in the next ayah we'll read it, okay? We'll study it. But we're talking, in this ayah, we're talking about the person who has done it unintentionally. So what happens to him? ثُمَّ يَتُوبُونَ مِنْ قَرِيبٍ. Quickly they return back to Allah Almighty. They ask for forgiveness. Okay. فَأُولَئِكَ يَتُوبُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. It is such whose repentance Allah will accept. Okay. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا. And Allah Almighty is all-knowing, all-wise.
قرآني في قلبي دوما يغمرني من فيض ضياء آيات
IRIB English Radio, in cooperation with Xavier International Schools, presents Let's recite the Quran.
So, that's all. Refer to the Tafasir books, inshallah, for more information, for details, inshallah. Now it's time to mention some Tajweed rules. Yes, Fawad?
Yes.
Okay. So, Allah Almighty guide us, inshallah, to learn the Tajweed rules well in this session. Listen, please, brothers and sisters. Innama, the Noon Mushaddad, which is pronounced with a nasal sound. Innama, right?
Yes.
And then At-Tawba has a Hamzatul Wasl, so we skip. So in order to skip Hamzatul Wasl, beside this, we skip the alif in Innama as well. Innama At-Tawbatu, right? Innama At-Tawbatu.
Yes.
Ala Allahi. Allah is pronounced with a light or heavy sound. Which
heavy.
One? Heavy sound. Lilladhina. Dhal is important. Ya'maluna.
Ayn
is important. As-su'a. Su'a. The mad is wajib. Bijahalatin. So tanween plus tha, rest of the letters, what do you do?
Ikhfa.
Ikhfa, hide the sound. Bijahalatin thumma yatubuna min qarib. Min, again, hide the sound of noon. Qaribin, again, hide the sound of tanween.
Yes.
Faulaika. Faulaika. There is a mad in the word ulaika. We've mentioned it many times that this mad is obligatory or optional.
Faulaika.
Yeah, the word, the mad, it's wajib, right?
Yes.
So this word, faulaika. Why? Because the mad, the harf al-mad, the alif mad.
Yes.
Ula, this sound. And ika, the hamza, are in the
same word.
So for what? The rule says that what?
If the Hamza
and the mad letter
are in the same word.
Okay.
So the pronunciation of the mad should be long. It's
longer.
Wajib. It's obligatory,
yeah, it's
to stretch
extend
it.
The sound. Good job. What if they are in separate words, two separate
so
words?
So you can whether stretch it or don't.
It's optional. MashaAllah. So what are mad letters? Three mad letters we have, yes? Alif, Waw, and Ya. A, E, U. These mad letters. Good job, Fawad. Thank you. Next one. Wakan Allahu. Allah is pronounced with a heavy sound. What's the rule, Fawad? Hey, why
so
we should read it Allah?
Before the word Allah, there's a word Wakana, which ends with a noon, which is having a fatha.
Fatha, a na sound, a sound,
yes,
on the top. Okay.
So a word like Allah, before it, a word comes with ending. A word ending with fatha or dhamma makes the pronunciation of the letter lam in Allah is pronounced heavily because of the dhamma
and fatha
ending the word.
So the rule says that if you have fatha or kasr or dhamma right before the word Allah must be pronounced with a heavy sound. Yeah?
Yes.
You mean this?
Yes.
That's correct. So what if there is a kasra sound before?
So the letter lam is pronounced lightly.
Lightly, like a la sound.
Yes.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. So this one has a fatha right before on noon. So the word Allah is pronounced with a heavy sound. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ يَتُوبُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. We have a stopping sign here. قِلَى. What does it say?
So قِلَى means like waqf. You better stop.
Better to stop.
Yeah.
Can you continue as well?
You can continue, but all stopping right. is better.
وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا تَنْوِين plus ha. No changes.
Idhar. Yeah. No change.
عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا. So, ready to recite it?
Yes.
With me, practice. So, listen. بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنما التوبة على الله للذين يعملون السوء بجهالة إنما التوبة على الله للذين يعملون السوء بجهالة أحسن ثم يتوبون من قريب فأولئك يتوب الله عليهم ثم يتوبون من قريب فأولئك يتوب الله عليهم وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا أحسنتم ما شاء الله صدق الله العلي العظيم أحسنتم ما شاء الله Thank you so much Brothers and sisters, we hope inshallah you've learned this and this session was beneficial for you. Thank you so much for being with us. Thanks Fawad for being with us and practicing with us today. Inshallah, next session will continue with Surah An-Nisa. Thanks to Arab English Radio. Thank you so much, brothers and sisters, for being with us. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi al-tahirin. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم
Let's recite the Quran A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
IRIB English Radio
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.